How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and hold them above your head and bear witness of God's Word. This will be the authority that we're using today. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Good. You may be seated, please. I would ask you to turn, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And I'll also begin the sermon by reading a verse from Matthew chapter 5, Hebrews 11, Matthew chapter 5. When you find your place, say, I have it. Now, I will grant you that seeing God physically is something that no man has done. Seeing God physically, the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 18, that no man has seen God. And we think about in all the Bible, we don't see that anyone actually saw the physical face of God. So you might say, how can you see God? So let me ask you this morning. You don't have to answer out loud, but you can if you want. Can you see God? Now, next question. Do you want to see God? Would you like to see God? How about right now? See, that's what hangs us up. It's like, yes, we'd love to see God. We're going to do it in heaven one day. We're not really ready to go right now and see Him because we think that's the only way that we can see Him is when we get to heaven, and then we'll see God. But I want to share with you something today that was monumental. I began studying a couple of just small verses in the Bible, and it's amazing how God takes the simplest verse and He's able to show you one of the fundamental things about living the Christian life, about accepting Jesus as your Savior, about what it really means to experience God. The reason that I want to share you this is because I believe there are several groups of people, and there'll be several groups that are listening today. But those that are here, some will tune into the broadcast by way of internet, the radio program. Some will just put a CD in going down the road. A lot of ears will hear this and eyes will see it. And in that group of people, there will be some that have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There will be some that are counting on, hoping on going to heaven because maybe they've been good enough, or maybe they've been raised in a way of believing that if they go in and learn about God and they go through the different requirements that the church offers, they're able to take the class and recite back to the class and get their certificate of confirmation and then follow the Lord in baptism, that if they do all the right things, then they're going to get to go to heaven. And then they'll see God. There are some that just do not believe that there is a God in existence. And then there are Christians that believe in God. They're here today. They pray to God, sing to God, but they don't really see God. And I want to talk today about seeing God, and it's going to cover several groups of people. I do want to tell you that that person that's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that person has never truly seen God. But I want you to take the Bible's word for it, not my word. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus makes a simple statement in a sermon that we know is the Sermon on the Mount. He was giving something we know as the Beatitudes. And He made this statement. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Say that with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, in order to see God, what Jesus is saying, your heart needs to be pure. Well, what does being pure mean? This means that we have to get our heart right with God. We have to get it pure. And to purify something, you have to get the impurities out, right? You can't make anything pure unless you get the impurities out, because things start impure. So what I want us to see today is that God becomes visible to us, and this is what Jesus is saying, spiritually visible when we begin to purify our hearts. Now, I'm not saying that you will see this illuminated face of God appear before you with a loud, booming voice. What I want you to see today is that he wants us to see him so clear spiritually that we see him as being next to us. We see him as speaking back and forth to us. We see his works go. We see his presence. We experience God. And to see God is to experience his presence in many different ways in our lives. I'll start by just saying we can experience the confidence of a strong faith, and we can get rid of the worry that keeps our mind in bondage if we purify our hearts so that we can see God. Now, anybody interested in getting rid of the worry that you walk around with every day? Anybody interested in getting out of that bondage? That one that keeps your mind so preoccupied, that worries about all the different little small dilemmas that add up to big dilemmas, whether it be a financial situation or whether it be a medical situation, a health situation, a relationship situation, a career situation, all those things that make us worry. Do you realize that if you could see God the way he wants you to see him, purify your heart, that you wouldn't have the worry that you have now? Do you realize that we can experience the clear direction and leadership of God through his Holy Spirit if we purify our hearts so that we can see God? Now, all of us need direction and leadership, right? Some of us may not want it until we get to a place where we've ran out of our own direction, but we all need that direction. Do you realize that we can experience the joy of walking with God and praising him on an everyday basis? That's experiencing God's companionship if we purify God and see God. We can experience the blessings of God. Anybody interested in the blessings of God? We can experience the unmerited favor that God puts on our lives to where he gives us things that we can't even explain when we purify our hearts and see God. Do you realize that we can have discernment and understanding of things that normally we would not understand when we purify our hearts and see God? So I'm just giving you some things that you can have if you are able to see God. Do you realize that we can experience the strength of our relationship with God with an intimate prayer life whenever we purify our hearts so that we can see God? An intimate prayer life, that means an open conversation back and forth with God. We can also experience the ability to represent him and to speak the words that he gives us, to be able to be that ambassador for him, to be that person that is able to represent him, not just to the outside world, but to our wives, our husband, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our family members, our co-workers, our schoolmates, our teammates, when we purify our hearts where we can see God. When we get our spiritual heart right, that is, purify our heart, what happens is it causes our spiritual eyes to be open to see God's presence all around us. It gives us strength to get through difficult times and helps us endure hardships. And we know that we're going to have hardships in life, right? What it does is it lets us see God so close that we see his ability instead of our own ability. Now, this won't matter to anybody in here unless you're somebody whose plan hasn't worked before. Do we have any of those in here? John 1:18 says, "No man has ever physically seen God." We understand that, but the only way that we can see God in this life, not just when we die and go to heaven or the Lord comes back to rapture the church, the only way that we can see God in this life is to experience all of these things that show us the presence of God. To see God is to see God work, to feel his presence, to communicate with him. And when we experience the presence of God in this way, we are actually seeing God. Now, I've used the phrase seeing God a lot, but the Bible gives us examples, and it gives us little jewels. And when we uncover those jewels, we'll be able to see, hey, my life could be like this if I take this example. One of those examples, I just happened to stumble over in Hebrews chapter 11. I read this passage of Scripture. Many of you know it talks about the people of faith throughout the Bible. And it goes and gives you a description of of what happened and how they used their faith. But when we think about someone who was able to experience God and see God work, in my mind, I have to think about Moses. Think about Moses, if you will. Moses, who was God's right-hand man. He had a meeting with God at a burning bush. He purified his heart. God said, this is what's going to happen. He had spent some years in the desert getting his mind right, and God got his heart right. And then God said, hey, you're going to go in front of Pharaoh, and you're going to watch millions and millions of my children be delivered from bondage in Egypt. And Moses was able to experience that. He was able to see and speak for God and watch God do all these miraculous, unexplainable, amazing things. He was able to see all these Israelites leave Egypt. And then he was able to see God put a cloud over them by the day so they wouldn't get hot. Put fire in front of them at night to lead them. He was able to see and experience that. When they reached the Red Sea and the army that was coming to get them was going to surely just kill them, annihilate them, he was able to see God's protective hand. He raised his staff and he watched God open the waters and they walked through. He saw that. When they got on the other side and they were thirsty and the water was poisoned, he watched God in the waters of Marah make the bitter waters good to drink. He watched God deliver manna and quail from heaven to feed every day. He saw God do those things. He saw God deliver them from situation after situation. He was able to see God's blessings. He was able to see God's miracles. He was able to speak for God and impact others. He was able to discern. He was able to understand what God was saying. Remember all of Moses' trips up on the mountains? And the Bible where it says God told Moses? How many times do you think God has told us something and we didn't understand it? He gave Moses discernment and understanding. When you get to the book of Hebrews and you read about Moses and his great faith, and I'll start with verse 24. I just want to read to you several verses here. Listen to this, and I want to show you something I think is amazing. Hebrews 11, the Bible says, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come into years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now this last little phrase, the last little phrase in verse 27 is huge. I'm here to tell you today, if you get this, if you can let this be able to resonate in your mind and heart, if you can understand the message God is telling us, it's going to open doors for you that had been shut previously. It's going to let you as a Christian be able to live a life and see the blessings of God, experience the protection of God, have the communication with God, all those things you said you wanted to do. And if you're not saved, you're going to see how vital it is with just this one instruction to know how to come to God. Listen to the last part of this verse. It says, for he endured, talking about Moses, as seeing him who is invisible. As seeing him who is invisible. Say that with me. As seeing him who is invisible. To endure. When I looked up this definition, you know, I'm not a computer person per se. I have a big dictionary upstairs, and I go back and I flip to that place in the dictionary because I like the way it's laid out there. It's just old school way I like to do it. Webster, when you get to endure, it says this. Get this definition. To remain set in purpose. to hold out, to stand and suffer patiently, to last for a long time, to endure. How many of us know that we go through difficulties all the time that we have to endure? And the goal is to remain set in purpose. This is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Moses endured. Why? How? He endured by seeing him who is invisible. He saw God as someone who is completely visible instead of someone who is invisible. You say, how does this change anything? It changes everything. It tells us the one thing about Moses. You say, well, it has to be more complicated. Moses had to do this. Moses had to do this. No, it gives you the key at the end of this that tells you Moses was able to see what he was able to see in his life, experience what he was able to experience, have the closeness with God, see the blessings, have the protection, have the favor, have all those things. How? Why? Because he could see God as visible. You say, so you mean Moses saw the face of God? No. Moses spiritually saw God so clear that he experienced God in a way that we sang this morning. He's here. He is right here. I can touch him. He's beside me. He's behind me. He's doing this. He's doing that. So you see the way that Moses went about this was without fear. It was without reservation. It was with boldness. Why? Because he could see God. You say, how does this apply to us? You see, Moses' faith was so strong that he responded to God's commands as if God was standing right there beside of him. He responded as if God was visible to him. When we look at Moses and his loyalty to God and the blessings of God that Moses was able to experience, the way that he was able to represent God to other people, the way that he was able to have such clear discernment of God and clear discernment of God's word, the way that he was able to receive such clear direction, Moses, go this way. Moses, do this. Moses, don't go that way. I mean, what was it about Moses that enabled him to experience God this way? The answer, he saw God as someone visible. So when I ask you this morning, do you want to see God? And I tell you that we're talking about seeing God. And you say, no one has seen God. I can remind you that Hebrews 11, 26 or 27 says, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Moses saw God as a living, breathing, real God, standing right beside of him, communicating with him, talking to him. When I saw this, I began to see how significant this was in Moses' life and also how significant this is for everybody else. And, you know, I have to tell you that you think sometimes we come in here and I'm going to preach a sermon that's supposed to be able to hit everybody in here. Oh, you stepped on my toes today. Oh, well, that was for me. No, I'll tell you, and honestly, if you get your sermon from God, then a pastor's sermon should hit him first. Him first. It means that the things that you're guilty of, God convicts you before you even preach it. He preaches it to me before I preach it to you. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that even as Christians, we come in here today and we know that it's Sunday. We need to come in here and worship God. Choir members need to come up here and sing. We opened our hymn books and we sing. We're going to start with a prayer. Had Sunday school this morning. All those things we know to do. And this day, we come into God's presence and we say we're in the presence of God today. But do you know how easy it is for us to leave here and see all those things in the world instead of seeing God? To put God back at some faraway place, way up in heaven, where we don't see him, and of course he sees us. We believe in him. Yes, we believe in him, but he's way up there. Now get this, because even those Christians that truly believe in God, we tend to not live like we're seeing God. We think we're going to go to church and experience him, but no. Moses walked and lived a life seeing God. He was real to him. I want to go further to explain. We tend to look at God with this mindset that God is this invisible presence, this figure who cannot be physically seen, that lives in heaven far beyond our capability to physically see and experience, this spiritual being that we know as God who looks down from heaven that we come to acknowledge and that we're supposed to believe in. But the fact is that he's physically invisible to us, and this causes us to focus on the things that are not invisible to us, the things that we can physically see. That's why men started worshiping idols. They wanted to make something that they could see. What we fail to realize is that God doesn't want to be invisible to us. He wants us to see him. He wants us to live our lives like Moses, not considering God as invisible, but instead to live with this perspective that God's right beside us, that he's not far away from us, that his voice is real and clear, instead of thinking, well, I don't know what God would sound like. God wants us to live knowing that he's showing himself to us and he's orchestrating things around us. He's leading us. He's directing us. He's advising us. He's protecting us. He's strengthening us. And that he's available to us at all times. God wants to be visible to us. Amen. We know that we're not going to physically see what God looks like until we get to heaven. But what he wants for us is to spiritually see him so clearly that he becomes visible to us. Do you hear that? Now, it would be easy to miss because even with our physical eyes right now, your mind would tend to wonder. Your mind would tend to be able to go to something that you have to do or a place that you need to go. It would go to something that you're struggling with. So that's physical where you can see that. And so it keeps us away from the invisible. What he wants us to do is to be able to spiritually see him so clearly that he's visible, to the point where we're constantly talking to him, we're listening to him, we're considering his presence in our lives, our everyday lives, our every hour, our every minute, so that our decisions and our direction, our behavior is geared by someone who is visible to us. I want you to consider this. In order for someone to accept God's salvation through Jesus, do you know that they have to see God as visible and real? No one can ever truly accept Jesus as their Savior until they see him as real. They can't accept God and believe in God until they see that he's real. Most people tend to put God in an imaginary state. Oh, just think, you can imagine God is doing this or God has done this. And see, God gives us the truth of his written word, and then he gives us his presence, and then he gives us the Holy Spirit, which works and speaks, and that Holy Spirit will speak in here today. But we put God in this place to where he's invisible, out of sight, out of mind, until we're ready to go call on him for something. And God said, I don't want to be that way. I'm going to give you Moses as an example. Why was Moses blessed the way he was? Because God was visible to him. And a person that never accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're truly not saved. I'm talking about somebody that believes there's a God. They believe there's a God. And they believe that Jesus went to the cross and died historically. You say, that makes them saved. No, the Bible says that they have to accept it, own it, and ask God to forgive them of their sins, confess their sin. They won't remember all their sin. Just confess they're a sinner. Ask God to use the blood of Jesus to cover their sin. He says, then they will be saved. How can a person do that
if they don't believe in a real God, because you have to bow before a real God to pray that prayer. It can't be learned just because you happen to go to a class and somebody says, memorize this. It can't happen because somebody says, hey, just say this. It happens because someone sees God as visible and real. God, you are looking at me right now. I am a sinner. I want to be with you for eternity. I want to live for you. Please save me. At that moment, someone lost sees God as visible, instead of some distant, faraway being. Does that make sense? Amen. And then after a person gets saved and accepts God as real, and Jesus as real, and sees God, and asks God for his salvation, and repents of their sin, then the key to experiencing God is to continually keep him visible to you. Keep him visible to you. Now, I want to tell you something. I'll tell you why this is so important, and you can look at your own life. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about mine. When I look back on my life as a Christian, after I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, because the day I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I can tell you exactly where I was sitting, exactly where I was in church, and I was under conviction, and God was visible to me. And I was saying, God, I can't wait to come down there. When he gets through preaching, I promise I'm coming down. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to ask you to save me. I believe Jesus died. God was real to me that day. He was visible to me. And then I look after that happened, through those high school years and college years, when all these other visible things came in my eye. And then God to me was over here somewhere. Oh, I knew I needed to make sure I went back and worshiped him. I knew I believed, but I wasn't seeing God. When I look through my early adult and even in the past, in recent years, when you look and you see that you're going through struggles and you don't feel that peace of God, you're dealing with things and you're staying in a worrying state of mind, when you find that you've involved yourself in some kind of sin, when you see that you don't feel the closeness, you're just going through the motions, can I tell you something? I can look back on my life and I can tell you with all honesty, those are the times that I was not seeing God. That's how big this is. Now you look back on yours. You say, I know where he's at. I've always believed him. Right, way over there. Let's go back as simple as the children said. When do we listen the most? When they're right here beside of us. When somebody's not looking, it's easier, right? From a child we heard that. We know that too, right? How important do you think it is to see God? We have this mentality that if we don't see him, he doesn't see us. Think about how different our lives would be if we lived our lives with God being visible to us. Just think about it. If we could actually physically see God's presence beside of us all the time, if we could see him comforting us and instructing us and telling us what to do and telling us what not to do and see that he is protecting us and see that he's orchestrating all these events in our lives with his power to change any situation. If we could see him so clearly that we talk to him continually and we say to him and praise him and we sing these songs, if he is right in front of us, we would be doing that, right? Think about these things. Think about how our actions would be different if we saw him as someone visibly with us. Just think about these things for a minute. I wrote down these things because I think these are everyday things and even a Christian can relate to. Think about this. Think about how we would talk to him in prayer and our faithfulness to pray if we really saw him as being beside of us. You know that time that you're supposed to pray? And you walk through and something else happens and the phone rings or you get that text and then all of a sudden you find yourself in your car and you say, oh, well, I need to go ahead and pray before I get to work. I need to do this. Or that time you're getting ready to go to bed and you say, gosh, I'm tired and I'm just going to sit right here and do this. And all those things that are so easy for us to say, those times where we get carried away, do you understand that if you saw God beside of you saying, hey, when are we going to talk? 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 How do you think your prayer life would be? If you felt God's presence and saw him like Moses did right beside of you, saying, you mean we're not going to, you don't have anything to say to me? Listen, can I tell you what breaks my heart as a parent more than anything? Listen, you hold them babies and love them. You give them everything. You work day and night for them. You keep them fed. You keep them clothed. And sometimes they get to an age to where they happen to walk in and they walk by you and don't say anything to you. Oh, I want to tear the cabinets off the wall. You mean to tell me you walk right by me? I've wiped your butt when you were young. I've fed you. I've clothed you. I've done all those things, and you're going to walk by me in my house. I'm just being real with you, right? All those things. How do you think God feels about us? How do you think God feels about us? When I choose to not see him, and I can dismiss my prayer time by just having some little petty excuse come up. Think about how we would choose to worship him and our faithfulness to come and worship. Yeah, I would be here, but I've got this going on and this going on and this going on. That's easy to say when God's far away, right? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, you know, at least I was able to come today. Some of those things that we say, well, I can come now, but I've got other things going on then, and this is my time, and this is what we do here, and this is, well, that's fine. I mean, it sounds the same when anybody says it to me, but you're not saying it to me. If you're a child of God, he's right beside of you. How would that sound to you? What kind of love relationship would you have with somebody if every time that you were supposed to meet and they made all these intentions to make a time for you to meet with them and they blew you off, occasionally they would come? How do you think it would make you feel? It'd be different if we saw God beside of us, right? What about our opportunities to serve him? Our opportunities to serve him. Hey, Mike, here's what I'm going to do for you today. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to put this person in your life, and you really need to be unselfish. You need to pour into that person. I'm going to give you an opportunity to help with the children or help with the youth. I'm going to give you an opportunity to participate in this. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and talk to this person. Here's an opportunity to serve. Do you think we would take those opportunities if he was right beside of us saying them to us? He is. We're just not seeing him like that. Remember, we see him as somebody far away. Hey, think about how he wants us to represent him and witness for him. I think about the times I failed to witness because I didn't see God. Those people that happened to be my classmates or my teammates as I get older, co-workers, neighbors, friends, family. When God opens a door and he's right there with me and he's saying, hey, here's an open door. Talk to them. Witness to them. Share me with them. Share me with them. But we blew it off because of some kind of thing in our mind that said, oh, well, we don't know what to say, or we can't do this, or they won't hear that right. How do you think the God that we should be able to see would say? Because he's the one giving us those opportunities right now, right? And we come back with excuses, because you can give excuses to a God that's not anywhere near. A God that you don't see. Think about how we would worship even in song. A holy and righteous God that loved us so much that he gave his son to be brutally beaten, savagely just torn apart, mocked and spit on. And we had a chance today to open a songbook. And when we open our songbook, we had a chance to be able to sing and glorify him and give him praise. And we chose to say, I don't like his song. Don't feel like singing. I'll move my mouth every now and then. Here's the book. What page number? We just go through. We were singing praises to God, right? But we chose, hey, I don't know. This isn't me. If we saw God beside of us saying, are you going to praise me? Would we praise him differently? Now, bear in mind, I'm preaching this based on my failures in life. I know I'm putting mine out there, but I want you to open the book on yours, okay? I want you to get application from this. And let's take the big thing. Think about how we would choose to sin, how different our world would be, how different our choices would be if God were visible to us when we choose to sin against Him. If we really considered Him as visibly right beside of us, let me ask you, would we lie? Would you lie if God was right here beside of you and He knew? Would you lie? Have you lied since you're a Christian? Then you weren't seeing God. Let me ask you this. Would you cheat if you knew God was right beside of you? Of course not. We cheat when we're not seeing God. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. Would you be selfish when God gave you an opportunity to be unselfish? Would you be selfish if God was there right beside of you and you were seeing Him say, hey, give of yourself? I think we would be so unselfish, wouldn't we? Would we refuse to help someone if God were there beside of us saying, hey, here's a person I put beside of you. Here's a person I put in front of you. Would we refuse to help somebody? Let me ask you this. Would we commit some of the sins that we do if God were right beside of us? You know, we talk about sins, bad sin. Sin is sin. God calls sin wrong. When we think about some of the sins that we hear today and we think, well, we're not guilty of this, think about the sin that some even Christians commit when they should be able to see God. We think about sexually immoral sin. Fornication, that's sex outside of the marriage. That's sex before marriage. God said it's wrong. He doesn't condemn it. I mean, He doesn't condone it. He condemns it. He said, that is not my way. Do you realize that for Christian people, God is right there with them while that's going on? How can they do that then? They're not seeing God. That man and woman that are committing adultery, even when it begins and somebody happens to find somebody they haven't seen in years, they saw a post and here's their post and, hey, we found this person. I used to know them. We knew each other in high school and now I have all this going on. And hey, I'm just going to say, hey, and then it begins and it's not your husband or it's not your wife. And all of a sudden it leads to these people and all of a sudden they see somebody that used to be their Prince Charming or their Princess Charming. They've never paid bills with this person. They've never had sick kids with this person. They've never been in financial straits with this person. All of a sudden they leave their family for this. This happens all the time. Do you think even the beginnings of those things would have started if they saw God right beside of them? If that young man and young woman decide they can't wait and they drift off to that secret place, if they're Christians, how do you think it would be if before they decided to commit premarital sex, they would say, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. I don't think too many prayers are going up before that happens. Do you? Why? Because there's times we don't want to see God. Is there? Well, let's get it even deeper. Here's a big epidemic, a disease that's sweeping the nation. How about pornography? When that person happens to go in and knows exactly what button to hit. And they hit that button and they know it will take them to this website. And they're able to see those things. Do you realize they're not seeing God? Because if they could see God, God's watching every stroke of the computer to watch what they're doing and watching what's right in front of them. It's amazing, isn't it? That we don't see God. Well, let me get you with this one. Would we worry like we do if we really saw God? If we saw God in His power, would we worry? Hey, this is what the doctor told me. or look, how in the world is this going to work out? Listen, I know what I've got to pay. I know that this isn't going to work out. Or listen, I'm not going to get to the school I want to. Or what about this test? And hey, what about this issue that I've got here with this in my relationship? And what if this happens? And what if my career doesn't go this way? And hey, do you know what they did? And I don't know how this is going to work out. And we get anxious and we worry, right? If we saw God as big as he is, standing beside us, side of us, saying, don't fear, come to me if you're laden or heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But we don't see God, so we worry, so we fear. Let me tell you, there's people in the Bible that we've been given examples that see God. I remember David. You think David saw God? You know what David said? He's right here beside of me. I'm not going to fear this giant. And then later on, he said, listen, God's with me. Let 10,000 come at my left hand. Let them come from my right hand. God will take care of every one of them. Why? He's right here. You think David saw God? He saw God. Moses saw God. He wasn't some faraway God that was unobtainable. When we go through temptations, and we will go through temptations here in this life, we'll go through hardships and we'll go through afflictions here in this life. And this body that we have will yearn to have pleasures that go against what God says. We will have them. But God tells us that we can endure those things. We can remain set in purpose. We can continually stand. We can be patient in suffering. It will keep him, if we keep him, visible to us. And I think this is our epidemic. This is why we're not on fire for God. This is why we're not experiencing that peace, that joy, that protection, the blessings, the favor, that communication. Why? Because we're not seeing God. We've put him way over here, even as Christians. We become blinded and enamored by the things that are physically visible to us. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to what he says. Paul says this, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that means temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. God wants us to see the invisible. The devil wants us to blind us with the temporary visible. That's why he wants to put your problem right in front of you. He wants to put my problem right in front of me. He wants to put my temptation right in front of me because it's a visible thing. And so you say, well, how can I get to where God is more visible to me? How can I get to where I can see God the way you're talking about? Well, we have to go back to Matthew 5:8. Remember our first verse. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what do you have to do? Well, we have to have a heart purification. A heart purification. Pure in heart. What does this mean? In order to see God, in order for God to become visible to us, not just when we see him in heaven, but for us in this life, like Moses did, seeing the invisible God as someone who's visible to us and experiencing his everyday companionship and presence, we have to purify our hearts. Now, when I ask you, do you want to see God? If you were telling the truth, then you would want to go to the next step, which is purifying your heart, if you really want to see him. You say, my heart's not that bad. You know what Jeremiah said about your heart and my heart? He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Is he talking about my beating heart? No. He's talking about my innermost being. My heart is where I think, where I feel. It is my soul. It's my inner mind. My heart is who I am. It's able to be tempted. It wants what it wants. It's deceitfully wicked. Deceitful above all things. Above all things, really? My heart is like that? It is. What do I need to do? I need to get the impurities out. To purify something, you get the impurities out. How do you get the impurities out? Here's the roadmap that we were given. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us for all unrighteousness. You mean the God of heaven, yes, the one that wants you to see Him, will let me be able to come and acknowledge that I'm a sinner and feel my guilt and ask Him to forgive me? Yes, not just with your words, but if you really feel your guilt, He'll let you come to Him and ask Him to forgive you. And if He looks at your heart and your words and they match and you really want to be close to Him and forgiven, He will forgive you. Do I deserve it? No. Do you deserve it? No. That's a God of grace that wants your fellowship. He wants you to be able to see Him. And He knows that you can't see Him unless you purify your heart. I can't have all these distractions going on about me and what I want and what I want to feel and what I want to happen, or I'm not going to be able to see God. Here's the caveat. If I can purify my heart where I can see God, then I'm going to want to communicate with Him. Me and Him are going to talk like He did with Moses. I'm going to understand His direction when He says, do this or don't do that. I'm going to hear Him convict me of sin. Oh, Mike, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I'm going to see His protection that says, I'm not going to worry, God. You've got it. I'm going to feel His peace and joy that says, I'm a child of yours. You're right here. I'm not going to fear God. You got me. I know you got this. I'm giving this to you. I'm going to walk with that. What's going to happen? If I have that happen to me, He's going to end up giving me more than I ever could have gotten doing it my own way. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's plan is so much better than our plan. He wants you to see Him. But to see Him, you have to purify your heart. But if you purify your heart, you will see Him and it will help you keep it pure. Amen. Paul wrote a letter to Titus. Speaking of Jesus, he said, Jesus who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Do you know that Jesus Christ gave His life to purify you? To purify you. Why? So that you could see God. So that you could walk every day experiencing God, seeing Him spiritually. And you know what, James? You know what we hear in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8? He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. And James put it this way, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Is this important to put these words on there? It is. What do you mean double-minded? Well, in my mind, I have it on God, and then I have it on me. I have it on God, and I have it on me. I have it on God, and I have it on me. You have it on God, and you have it on you. When I purify my heart, I don't become double-minded. I have it on God, and know that God has His on me. That's a big deal, isn't it? So I'll ask you one more time. We're not talking about me anymore. Let me ask you, are you seeing God? Are you seeing Him? Are you walking in your life every day right now seeing Him? Like Moses. He's there. He's available to see. Do you want to see God? Because sometimes, you know, we don't want to see Him. I want you to look inside of yourself. I want you to look at your heart. Let me ask you, do you need to purify your heart? Do you need to remove the impurity of sin? If you do, here's what you do. You cry out to God. Why? Well, He wants to be visible to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to love on Him and He wants to love on you. He wants you to feel the peace and joy and the comfort. Are you going to keep having some problems and difficulties in the world? Yeah. He wants to walk through them with you. He wants you to see what kind of peace you have. Here's what else he wants. He wants you to be able to witness for him. Listen, when I see God the way I'm supposed to, and he's right beside of me, I'm a much stronger witness. Do you know why so many people aren't saved today? Because Christians aren't seeing God. They come and introduce God as somebody that they work with or family member. Listen, you need to come to church and listen, I know that you need to accept God. You need to believe in him and accept Jesus as your Savior. You say, well, they're supposed to be saying that. Yes. But do you know how you say it and somebody really knows that it's different from something else that they're being presented? When they see that you've seen God. Let me tell you what happened to me. Listen. The most awful thing happened, and I had a complete peace about it. Why? Because I knew God was going to take care of it, and I saw God do this thing, and he blessed me, and he's given me this, and I just want to praise him, and he's given me that. That sounds like somebody that's seen God. Amen. Do you know that people want something that somebody else have seen? You say people have to believe in faith in a God they cannot see. People can accept by faith in a God that you have seen. You'll start leading people to the Lord if they see that you really are experiencing God. They're watching to see it. When they see that you've put God at some faraway place and that you only pull him out every now and then why do they want that? If you're here today or listening today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, I want to tell you that God is not imaginary. He's not imaginary. He's not a choice of some mythical or folk belief. He's real. He's as real as the voice is speaking to you right now. You see, I can't make a voice speak inside of you, but a real God, one that wants to be visible to you, is speaking to you right now. And you might be in here today. You might be riding down the road, listening in your car. You might be on the website looking at it this way. You might be listening on the radio. God's speaking to you, and I have no idea who you are, but he does. That voice you hear inside of you that's moving you to do something permanent, that's not my voice, that's his voice. He's real. You're not completely sure right now if something happened to you, whether you would go to heaven, whether you're actually saved. You think, well, I've been good enough, and I know it, and I believe there's a God. Well, the Bible says in the book of James, even the devil believes there's a God. That doesn't save you. He says, there has to be a time where you come to me, believing in me, seeing me, and cry out to me, God, save me. And it's his voice right now that's saying, don't leave here today until you know that you know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that you're one of his. And if you accept him as your Savior today, do you realize that you are seeing God today and that you have the ability to continue to see him just like Moses did? And if you're saved today, if you're in here and you're a Christian, I want to ask you, is God as visible to you today as he was when you called on him to save you? Remember that? Where you realized, listen, I'm miserable, I need to get saved. That's when you saw God the way he was. Is he as visible to you today? He should be more visible. Should be more visible. That's when you just met him. You've been around him a while now. Should be more visible. Have you been living as if you have him in your sight all the time? I'm going to ask you to come to him today. Purify your heart. Tell him that you want him to be visible to you again. Tell him that you want to experience his companionship, his conversation, his direction, his protection, his blessing, his favor, his peace, his joy. Just come and tell him. He wants you to see him. The Bible says if you come to him, get this, he will in no wise cast you out. What's stopping you? The only thing that would stop you is if you just don't see him the way you need to see him. If you're seeing the people around you that you think would look at you if you came and knelt before him, then you're not seeing him, you're seeing that. If you're seeing down the road the things that you think, well, if I give up this or if I give up that, I don't know if I can do this, then you're seeing the visible that's temporary and you're not seeing what you need to see. God is speaking today. I feel the Holy Spirit moving in here. If you want to see Him today and you're unsure of your salvation, I want to pray with you. During this invitation, don't think about anything. The most important thing you can do is come to a true and holy, living God, and He will show Himself to you today. He's already speaking to you. And if you're a Christian in here today, all He wants to do is talk to you. He wants to hear you say, God, I want to see you more. Man, if my children come to me and say, Dad, you know what? I just need to be around you more. Oh, glory to God. What? Right? Well, that's what the Heavenly Father says to us. My children come around me, I get them stuff. Let me buy you a meal. Look, I picked this up for you. Why? Because I know you're coming. They don't get any of that stuff if they don't come around. I don't reward them for not coming around. God don't reward us for not coming around. He just wants to talk to you. He wants you to get back to where you can see Him, where you can touch Him, where you can feel Him. Are you seeing God? Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word that finds us where we're at. I pray, God, today that lives are changed during this invitation time. I pray, God, that your words went out. You know the ears that heard it. You've looked at the hearts, Lord. I pray, God, today. I pray for anyone, Lord, who is listening, who's unsure about their salvation, or they know that they've never made that commitment to you. I pray, God, today that nothing stands in their way from coming and accepting your Son Jesus as their Savior, for praying that prayer of repentance and getting saved today. I pray that for them, Lord. Lord, look at the hearts of the people in here that want that so bad. I know you gave up so much, Lord, to save us, so I pray that today, Lord, for each person. Let nothing stop them from responding to your voice and seeing you. And I pray for Christians, Lord. Lord, we tend to put you so far away. Sometimes we want to. Sometimes, Lord, it just happens. We get busy. We get distracted. Before long, we just don't see you. Lord, we seem to only call on you when we need to see you, and we need to see you now. I just pray, God, that Christians all over this room today are able to see themselves, and then they're able to see if they really see you. Change lives today as prayers are offered up to you from your children, Lord, that just want to see you again. In Jesus' name, amen.